Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
President Trump held a Latinos for Trump roundtable discussion in Las Vegas yesterday at the Treasure Island Hotel and Casino because nothing makes Trump feel at home more than an empty casino.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with Michael Schmidt, a New York Times reporter and author of the new book, Donald Trump versus the United States. But first, a closer look.
As wildfires and an out-of-control pandemic continue to rage, the president and his party are descending deeper into lawless authoritarianism. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Donald Trump and his allies desperately want you to believe that for the last 4 years, Joe Biden has been the president. For example, last week, the Trump campaign released an ad with the text, "This is Joe Biden's America." I mean, he does live here, but that's about it. By the same token, this is Ben Affleck's America or cue card Wally's America.
Seth, I would love to tell you about my healthcare plan.
No, no, Wally. And on Meet the Press yesterday, GOP chairwoman Rona McDaniel had this to say when asked about Trump's coronavirus failures.
You compare us to the rest of the Western world, and we have failed. Is there any way to look at this and compare to the Western world and say that we've done better than other countries?
I will just tell you right now, if Democrats were in charge, if Joe Biden had his way, go look at his statements in January when he said the president was being xenophobic and hysterical for closing the borders to China.
He's not the president.
No, no, no. He was running for president and he had the same data and the same information. So I think it's disgusting to take a crisis in our country and try and lay it at the feet of the president.
First of all, I'm not sure Biden did have the same data and information as the sitting president. With that said, Trump probably never looked at that data, so maybe that's what she means. Joe Biden has access to cable news and Twitter just like the president. And I'm not sure it is disgusting to take a crisis in our country and lay it at the feet of the guy who's in charge of our country. What other options do we have? Should we just leave a negative review on Chipotle's Yelp page? I mean, that hardly seems fair. Seriously, you guys are the party of personal responsibility, except when the person is Donald Trump. On Friday, we recorded 1,200 new deaths in one day. Canada recorded zero. And yet, when she was asked about Trump's failures, McDaniel blamed the death toll nonsensically on increased testing.
How do you account for the fact that it's the United States of America that accounts for the 25% of the world's deaths?
Well, we do have more testing.
Wait, what? Do you think the tests are killing people? How deep are they pushing those swabs? We test people to see if they're sick, not to see if they're dead. You know that, right? You ever watched an episode of Law & Order? When the ME shows up, it's to determine cause of death, not, are they going to be okay? Trump has catastrophically mishandled the worst crisis in this country in over 100 years, and he's lied to the American people about it, as we learned last week from the bombshell Woodward tapes. But it's not just that he's an incompetent liar. He's also actively making it worse. Last night, he held his first indoor rally in months in Nevada in violation of the state's COVID restrictions. There were lots of chanting and very little social distancing, and many refused to wear masks at all. If you were actively trying to get people sick, this is how you would do it. The only way he could spread the virus more efficiently is to hold a rally at a meatpacking plant and charge one French kiss for admission. At his next rally, there's going to be one Make America Great Again Kleenex that everyone has to share. Just blow your nose and pass it around. Trump fever. We know these events can seed outbreaks because it's already happened. After Trump's Tulsa rally in June, the local health director said it was likely the source of a surge in cases there. Even the current director of the National Institutes of Health, Francis Collins, who's normally very mild-mannered, had harsh words for how irresponsible these events are.
What do you think when you see these images of an event like this?
It just deeply puzzles me, Sanjay. How did we get here? Imagine you were an alien who landed on planet Earth, and you saw that our planet was afflicted by an infectious disease and that masks were an effective way to prevent the spread. And yet when you went around, you saw some people not wearing them and some people wearing them, and you tried to figure out why, and it turned out it was their political party. And you would scratch your head and think, this is just not a planet that has much promise for the future.
Well, I mean, at this point, I'm guessing most intergalactic ports have travel advisories warning aliens not to come to Earth. And what a terrible time for an alien to land here if they were looking for any kind of attention. I am Bylor from Gram X7. What? Okay, good for you. Just put on a mask while you're here, okay? If an alien landed on planet Earth right now, they'd take one look around, shift into reverse, and hightail it out of here like a family of tourists who took a wrong turn on vacation. There's a deadly virus and the sky is orange. You know what, kids? Get back in the spaceship. I don't care! You can pee when we get to Venus. As controversial as this may sound to Republicans, the fact is Donald Trump is currently the president. And he's overseen an era of crisis unprecedented in our lifetimes. It's hard to watch what's happening in our country right now and avoid the conclusion that everything is broken. Rich ghouls are dismantling the post office. Kids can't go to school. There are massive lines at food banks. We're nearing 200,000 COVID deaths. And in the West, millions of acres have burned. The air itself is a health hazard, and the sky is literally orange. I mean, holy this looks like a scene from Total Recall. No wonder Quato's been all over the TV lately. No, I'm sorry, America's Quato. When Trump flies in to tour the damage, he should have the guitar guy from Mad Max Fury Road strapped to the front of Air Force One. You know, the apocalyptic nature of the Trump era has really been on the nose in many ways, but even I never thought we'd have to lock ourselves inside and wear face masks while the sky turns blood red. I feel like I'm in a YA novel. The only thing we're missing is Forrest Whitaker in a mech suit telling us we have to find time crystals to restore balance to the universe. Schools are closed. The sky is orange and Tom Brady is on the Buccaneers. We must reset the timeline. The only upside of 2020 is there's a good chance the film adaptation will star Jennifer Lawrence and Timothée Chalamet. And we could all use just a little bit more Chalamet. Also imagine finally reemerging from 6 months of quarantine, only to be told you have to go back inside for a different thing. Oh, is it COVID surging again? No, it's not that. It's, how do we put this? The sky is on fire. More than 3 million acres have burned in California alone. In Oregon, 40,000 people have been evacuated and 500,000 are in potential danger zones. And there is no doubt that the frequency and intensity of these extreme weather events have been supercharged by climate change. New research shows that the Earth hasn't warmed this fast in tens of millions of years. L.A. County just set a new record temperature of 121 degrees. That's insane. Scientists and experts have been clear that what we're seeing right now is the direct result of climate change.
We just had two unprecedented heat waves back to back, some of the hottest temperatures ever experienced in the Southwest and in California. Both of them basically unprecedented, made worse by climate change, and that really dries out the foliage, it dries out the brush, it dries out the trees. What that does is it adds energy and heat to the atmosphere. That dries out the brush, it dries out the atmosphere, it causes a moisture gap or moisture deficit in the atmosphere. And research shows that that moisture deficit can explain almost all of the increase in burned area since the 1970s.
That's right, climate change has produced a moisture gap that's making wildfires worse. Of course, a moisture gap is also what you call the distance between Trump's lips and a bottle of water.
Damn you, water. Come here, stop. Stop playing so coy, water. You guys, we gotta get someone to close the moisture gap. Can we put Fauci on it to work on a solution? Why? What's he working on? COVID? Still? All right.
Six of the top 20 largest wildfires in California's history have all happened just this year. And if we don't take mass collective action to address climate change now, things are only going to get worse.
Unfortunately, climate change is happening right now in California, and we've been lengthening the fire season quite considerably as we warm up the planet. We know because of research from scientists that we have 500% more risk for wildfires during this climate-changed world than we would have before. And that's because it's really hot and dry, because we have had droughts. And of course, that drought, which is caused by climate change, has led to a lot of vegetation dying, meaning there's a lot of brush lying around that can easily light up. The fact is, climate change is the real culprit behind what we're seeing right now.
Should we expect that trend to continue?
Unfortunately, we should. What scientists are telling us is that we are entering a period of mega fires.
I love when scientists say to hell with it and give something a simple to understand yet terrifying name just so we might pay a little bit of attention to it. Most of the time, scientists use jargon like anthropogenic climate change or atmospheric aerosols, but when they discover something really bad, they just give it a name that makes you shit your pants. So as you can see here, rising heat combines with wind turbulence to form eddies of air that create a vortex of combustible gases, and hexapod invertebrates are what we in the science community call a giant killer fire tornado full of wasps and bees. We all laughed when sci-fi came out with Sharknado, but if they make another one, I'm going to be watching it with a notepad. Sharks can penetrate cinder block. Okay, good to know. Good to know. So while a deadly pandemic continued to grow in at least 11 states, with the nation's top infectious disease expert calling the situation disturbing, and historic wildfires scorched millions of acres across the West, turning the sky orange and making the air a health hazard for millions of Americans, what was the president of the United States doing? He was watching hours and hours of Fox News.
I watch some of the shows. I watched Liz McDonald. She's fantastic. I watched Fox Business. I watched Lou Dobbs last night, Sean Hannity last night, Tucker last night, Laura. I watched Fox and Friends in the morning. You watch these shows, you don't have to go too far into the details. They cover things that are, it's really an amazing thing.
My God, man, you just named like six different Fox News shows. Were you stuck overnight in an airport? No one should watch that much Fox News in one sitting. That's like telling your doctor you smoke once a day, but you cram 50 cigarettes in your mouth at once. Also, can we go back to this comment?
You watch these shows, you don't have to go too far into the details.
Yeah, heaven forbid we get caught up in the details on our news shows.
You know what I like about Hannity? Never uses words that are longer than one syllable. Very easy to follow.
That's the president of the United States bragging that as several states were on fire and the death toll from an out-of-control pandemic near 200,000, he was sitting in front of his TV watching Fox News like a grandpa whose rascal scooter ran out of batteries. Someone push me into the other room. And when he's not watching Fox, he's on Fox. Like on Saturday, when he sat down for an interview with Jeanine Pirro, where he threatened to send federal forces to put down protests after the election, falsely claimed shadowy figures were behind civil unrest, and celebrated extrajudicial killings by state forces.
Let's say there are threats. They say that they're going to threaten riots if they lose on election night, assuming we get a winner on election night. What are you going to do?
We'll put them down very quickly.
How
if they do that?
That.
We have the right to do that. We have the power to do that if we want. Look, it's called insurrection. The suburbs is going to be next. Look,
yeah,
the suburbs, people, these same protesters, but they're not protesters. They're anarchists, they're agitators,
Who
and
they're
they? Rioters.
Who are they?
They're people that in many cases are paid. Now, we sent in the U.S. Marshals for the killer, and in a short period of time, they ended in a gunfight. This guy was a violent criminal.
A lot of them out there.
And the U.S. Marshals killed him. And I will tell you something, that's the way it has to be. There has to be retribution when you have crime like this.
I mean, just listen to the words he's using. Retribution, agitators, insurrection. It's like fascist magnetic poetry. And also, no one is destroying the suburbs. What are you talking about? The only thing destroying the suburbs is the proliferation of Spencer's Gifts in our nation's malls, poisoning our children's minds with their sexy calendars. And as a general rule, I wouldn't trust Jeanine Pirro as a source of information on anything, since I'm pretty sure her blood alcohol level is like 99% white wine spritzer. Her show on mute is still louder than an F-15 taking off. It's hard to watch this and avoid the conclusion that these ghouls want a straight-up fascist state where the government can put down protests with violence and seek extrajudicial retribution against suspects. Meanwhile, they don't care if the country crumbles. Large parts of the West are on fire. Deadly virus is on the rise in 11 states, and Americans are lining up for hours at food banks. And if you're wondering which of those crises the president is currently keeping an eye on, don't worry. He's closely monitoring
the shows.
This has been A Closer Look.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Our guest is a Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington correspondent for the New York Times. His book, Donald Trump versus the United States, Inside the Struggle to Stop a President, is available now. Please welcome to the show, Michael Schmidt. How are you, Michael?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So I was fascinated by the contents of this book, but also just what goes into covering stories like these, the Comey firing, the Mueller investigation, you met sources at airports late at nights, you had to chase them down in D.C. It must have been quite an undertaking.
I mean, covering the Trump story was like another, like nothing we had ever covered before, primarily because of the speed. It was just so fast and the news cycles turned over so quickly. And we went to great lengths, as you were saying, I lay out in the book about getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and driving to airports to pick people up that were flying in who I wanted to talk to, thinking that was the only time I would get a chance to actually speak with them. And to stay competitive and in this story, we pushed ourselves in ways that I think we never thought we'd be tested in.
You have a brilliant piece of wording in describing what it's like to interview Donald Trump, which is, you say, it's like unzipping fog, which will stay with me a long time. You did manage to sit down and interview him at Mar-a-Lago, but it wasn't really scheduled. How did it come about?
So what I was able to do was I was able to have one of the president's friends take me to lunch at his club. And the friend basically said, when the president comes off the course, we'll go over and talk to him and maybe you can interview him. So we did this. I was there. I looked like I was wearing golf clothes. And we went over and the president greeted me and I crouched down next to him like a catcher because I wanted his undivided attention. And I knew if I was just standing there at the table with other people, then I wouldn't get a chance to talk to him. And I needed to sort of convince him that he would sit with me for an interview. So I crouched like a catcher. And I sat there as long as I could, and he was going on and on about state and local taxes and stuff. And I said, Mr. President, my legs were killing me. And I said, Mr. President, this is all really interesting. Why don't we sit down and do an interview? And he said, okay, let me just finish lunch, which I describe as him eating a head of lettuce that looked like it had been doused in Thousand Island dressing. So I go back to my seat, and within a matter of moments, I hear, Michael, get over here. And I had a chance to sit and interview the president for a half an hour.
It's really amazing the energy he has for talking when he's had his lettuce. You draw attention to, you know, I think people who follow the story have heard the name Don McGahn, but maybe don't know him as well as they say Noah Comey or Mueller. You describe him as one of the most fascinating people of this story. Can you talk about how you came to that conclusion insofar as the role Don McGahn has played in the Trump administration?
So McGahn to me is consequential for so many reasons. First of all, he was in charge of the umbilical cord, the tie between Trump and his base, which is the judges, the thing that allowed conservatives to stay with the president when he behaved in ways that they found to be unsavory. Because of that, and because of the impact McGahn had, we will be living in Don McGahn's America for decades and decades to come because of how he remade the federal judiciary. He was also a chief container of Trump, someone who was stopping the president from hurting himself and the country and the office of the presidency. And on top of that, he was a witness against the president in an existential threat to the presidency, being the Mueller investigation. So McGahn, as a lawyer, was being used as a witness against his client. Now, the question you probably may have is, like, why would McGahn stay if this was all going on? He stayed because he had a never and again opportunity to remake the courts and was willing to endure all of this and the risks of it in order to get the courts remade.
There is this idea that you talk about, and obviously others have talked about, you know, especially when we talk about why did people stay, which is the idea of adults in the room. Do you feel like this theory in the end turned out to be a bad one, that they were not particularly good adults in the room, or was it just a reminder that some adults cannot control their children?
I think that there were more adults earlier in the administration, and they had more success. That does not mean that they had complete success or should be absolved for anything that happened in the first few years of the administration. But the John Kellys of the world, the Don McGahns, were more of a barrier around the president. The president effectively got rid of people like that and has people less barriers in his way now. And I think that has left the president even more emboldened than ever before. And he has a very unusual use of power and interest in using power. And there are those fewer guardrails now around him.
Michael, I'm so impressed that you wrote this book while you continue to be a working reporter. I do not know how you juggle them both, but I am happy on each count. And thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.
Donald Trump versus the United States is available now.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.